Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we love the truth, and in truth, love to express the love of Christ, who is the truth. Here's Pastor James.
Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Well, we're not going very fast, but I'm not worried about it. We have one more message in this passage and then some other places to visit where the scriptures reiterate this message. But it's okay to go slowly. This is less about learning honestly, like content, and more about loving, as in applying what we are studying together. The series title is Vertical Living. This is part three. It's kind of the bookend or the sequel, if you will, to Vertical Church. It's you working on you and me working on me so that when we get together, we have a stronger us. You know, vertical living toward a greater impact in and through a vertical church. So let's just start with a word of prayer together. Come on, let's all pray. And I'm going to pray along the lines of loving God and loving others. So if you're with somebody that you know, just like these are here at the front, you might just take their hands as a sign of agreement. This is agreement. If two or three of you, Lord, you say if two or three of us agree as touching anything, it will be done. And some of us are holding the hands of loved ones. We're asking that you would bind our hearts together in love for you and love for one another. This is obviously of great, great importance to you. And where we haven't seen it, we ask your forgiveness. And where we haven't done it, we ask for your grace and mercy. And in that, we pray that the week ahead, the month ahead, the year ahead would show marked progress in our lives, in our love for you, in our love for each other, and in our love for the many people around us that are on your heart. So grant to us growth in that for your glory and for our good, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can actually grow in love? Do you have faith to believe that a month from today, a year from today, that you're going to be a more loving person than you were, both toward God and others? The idea that, listen, that you can actually, man, there's stuff that used to just put me in the ditch. It just doesn't anymore. And there was things that I couldn't get through, but now I can. And out of my love for God and my love for others, this really, really, this vertical living thing is changing me. We'll start here. Vertical living means loving God with all I am. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And we've learned how Mark 12 and Luke 10, it's added with all your strength. We've studied how that means the totality. Vertical living means loving God with all I am. Now, I want to explore this a little bit with you, so I'm going to quote in more detail the quote that I kind of jumped into a week or two ago. This is a picture of or a likeness of Augustine, and he was a 5th century philosopher, theologian, bishop in North Africa, and here's what Augustine is famous for saying. I'll give you the full quote and not kind of misquote it. Augustine said about the Lord, to the Lord, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." How many people this week were longing for more peace, less fear, more rest, less anxiousness and anxiety. But does that longing turn you immediately and increasingly to the Lord? Have you embraced this reality that the restlessness does not diminish until it finds rest in the one who made us restless so that we would search until he and only he would fill it? See, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love is a little messed up, candidly, by chick flicks and Hallmark cards, and love songs. I love all that stuff. Kathy and I love that stuff. But when we talk about loving God with our heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves, it's really, really important that you don't think that I mean, you know, eating those little tarts with the messages on them. And I'm not talking about a sentiment. This isn't teaching us about romance. It's not that raw, visceral, vacillating. That's not really what it's talking about at all. The heart, actually, where love resides, the heart is the seat of desire. And I want to this is a bit of a kind of a teachy message. You just need to know that. I've studied a good bit myself in preparation, and when we say that the heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, the totality of yourself, your heart is the seat of desire. And I want to challenge a false notion. It's the idea that that the main thing about us is thinking. Now, thinking matters. We've done a whole series on thinking. Thinking certainly is determinative. And when the Bible says that we should be transformed by the renewing of your mind, just turn to your neighbor and say that thinking matters. Yes. Okay, there's no question about that, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and whatever is true, just, lovely, pure, Philippians 4, think on these things. Thinking matters. Say it again. But it isn't all that matters. We are shaped more than we realized by this guy. This is 17th century French philosopher René Descartes, or probably just the A's is like Desplaines. If you know French, it's just not pronounced. So René Descartes. Here's what he's famous for saying. You see it there. I think, therefore I am. And this is everywhere. This is what became Enlightenment thinking and drove a lot of the educational philosophy all through the last century and into this one. Thinking, 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 thinking. And we are taught feelings, nothing. Feelings, put them aside. Feelings, suppress them. Feelings don't matter. Think, 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 think. Like we're just a head on a stick. Nothing else really matters. And the problem is a lot of us are trying to, you know, relate to our kids like that, relate to our spouses like that, relate to our parents like that, relate to God like that, relate to each other like that, and it just isn't actually correct. So I brought these little friends that sit on my, well, can we just get a close-up on this, please? These are two people are very dear to me, and I think a lot of us, somebody gave us this, I can't remember who, and do you see, do you recognize them? And how are these people gonna learn to love more? They gotta take another course, you know, they gotta memorize another verse. These are their heads, it's all in their heads. They gotta just learn more stuff. Don't you wanna learn more? Yes, I do wanna learn more. Don't you wanna learn more? Yes, I wanna learn a lot more. If I could just take another seminar, if I could just learn some more stuff, I'd be a lot more loving if I knew more about love. And that is the reason why we're going a lot slower in this series, because I think we're too easily persuaded that the problem is a missing piece of information. James K.A. Smith, who is actually a professor up at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, has written a book called You Are What You Love. And he talks about how the Cartesian model, it's called, the Cartesian model has impacted the church. Come and learn. Come and study and learn. And come to church and listen and learn. And go to a seminar and listen and learn. And get the CD if you miss it. And you can, you know, well, you missed a week of worship. But make sure you watch the message online, because that content get some more content. And get in a small group and get content. And come to a ladies' Bible study and get content. And never has the Bible been so readily available and yet made such little difference in the way people live. This kind of blew my mind. This, you're going to get a kick out of this. When Kathy and I were, I've told you this before, we still memorized scripture, of course, but when we were in college, we memorized a lot of scripture. And when we were dating, we memorized a lot of scripture. And I thought, man, I got to have something better than myself to hook this girl with. So I thought, I know we'll memorize scripture. There's a picture of Kathy and I, and right around that time was, that picture was taken, we were memorizing this, Philippians 1, 9, which says, Paul says, think of it, I pray that your love may abound more and more in all knowledge. Say what? Say what? No, you, that's backwards. You know, and this is also true, by the way, you do know the more, who wouldn't say the more you know him, the more you love him, right? But it isn't just that. It isn't just that more knowledge leads to more love. This is key. It's that more love leads to more knowledge. There are things about the Lord I will never fully comprehend until I am growing in love. But we lose this somehow. Put that quote up from James Smith, and let me just read that. The longing that Augustine, that restlessness, the longing that Augustine describes is less like curiosity, listen, and more like hunger. Less like an intellectual puzzle to be solved, and more like a craving for sustenance. Look up here. We're hungry for something that cannot simply be learned. It has to be experienced. And it is experienced, the currency of that experience is love. Love given and received between me and God. And love given and received between me and others. Okay, ready? We're gonna play Name That Tune. Listen. Name the tune. Title? As the Deer. Start again. As the deer, Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Second verse. I want you more than any other. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver. And the apple of my eye. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about right now. That there is a longing and a capacity for loving that leads us, the actual doing of it, not the learning about it, but the doing of it that takes us more deeply into him. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know. Knowing matters. But notice, what's the greatest commandment? It is not that you would know the Lord your God with all of your mind. The Bible knows nothing of learning for its own sake. The learning is for the loving. So much so. We were digging through some old pictures this week, so you're going to have to humor me. This one's going to make you laugh. This is me under a tree on a canoe trip. It's funny now. I was pretty upset at the time. Can we get a close-up on that? I'm not happy. Can I tell you why I'm not happy? I'm not happy because my girlfriend is more interested in spending time with her friends than she is with me. She was younger. I was ready to be more serious. Every single time I got with her, I learned some things. I wanted to go deeper into the experience of knowing her and more time, please. We obviously were able to resolve that. But I think it makes a very, very significant point, because I love my wife, obviously, by far more. I didn't even really know what it was then, or even when I got to the front of the church compared to now, right? But this is so key. And listen, this is the reason why so many Christians grow, then slow, then stuck, then sad, stiff, sour. That is the Christian road that so many are walking. Here's why. In the early stages of relationship, man, learn. And learn. And every time I open the Bible, I had no idea there was a God who said stuff like this. But by the time you've read it all and read it again and highlighted it in multiple colors and done it again and served and led a group and stopped and led another one and stopped and did it again, I love looking back at that picture of Kathy and I from back then, but not nearly as much as I like seeing pictures of her and I now. Now, this is key. What if knowing is a first thing, both relationally and vertically? Gospel, new believers class, foundational discipleship, let's go, and how to share your faith, and how to have a prayer time, and come on, but, over time, the priority moves from head to heart, from light to heat, from knowing to loving. Just as after 35 years of marriage, to be able to say from my heart, I love my wife more than I ever have, but I had to move from learning to loving, from seeing to savoring. You have to, there's not a lot more to know. I know her better than I know myself. I'm not saying she's not interesting. She's exceedingly interesting. But it just isn't that steep learning curve. Do you know what I'm talking about? And if you don't move in your relationship with others, and if you don't move in your relationship with God from seeing to savoring, I'm not like, I have that now. Now I'm into treasuring and delighting in and reminding myself of. How's that going with you and God? Maybe you even find a diminished capacity to love those around you, which causes me to feel a sense of excitement now, because I want to show you something else I learned this week. But maybe this first. To keep growing in Christ, move over time from learning to loving, from seeing to savoring who God is. So, the proof of growing love for God is not Bible knowledge. It's Christians. Listen up, y'all Christians. Most of you are, profess to be. Here it is. I have an announcement to make. Proof of love for God is not Bible knowledge. It's not. Some of the people here who know the Bible the best are the most cranky, as our Lord would say. Proof of love for God is not hatred of sinners. It's not marching in parades. It's not anger over gays and abortion, for goodness sakes. How pathetic. Real love for God is not worship volume. I am actually a fan of worship volume, but it isn't actually, it's not proof, not really, not entirely at least. Well, surely it must be anger over the politics in Washington. Outrage. There's proof of love for God. I'm going to have to go with a no on that. Well, what is the proof of loving God? What is the, I want to know, am I loving God? Well, back to the text again, Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jot this down. Vertical living is proven by horizontal loving. Vertical living is proven by horizontal loving. So I'm going to give us, I want to put a couple of people up on the screen, and this is the entire consolidation of us. That's us. All put together in one person. Two scriptures. Here's the first one. John 13:35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have memorized an extended portion of scripture, if you carry your Bible wherever you go, if you serve and serve and serve like nobody you know. One test. And what's so surprising is, I mean, if I had been even on the committee of writing the Bible, which there was a committee that wrote the Bible, you understand that, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We didn't really get asked. I would have actually suggested that a great thing there would have been, by this all people will know that you have, that you're my disciples, if by how you love them. That would have been, I would have been like, yeah, that's awesome. Of course, that's how they'll know we love God, by how we love them. But that isn't what it says. It's not how we love them, it's how we love, say it, one another. That is the proof. But here's the part I don't think I always, so if I was gonna talk to, I don't know, I'll talk to this girl here. So how's it going? And so you know it's not about reading your Bible, right? I'm sure you do that a lot. That's awesome. And I'm a big fan of that. I frequently mention it. Yeah, the real thing here is how much you love others. And not just that guy you're staring at right now, but it's actually how you love everyone around you and how you love the people in God's family. Now the second verse, 1 John 4:20, I quoted last week 1 John 4:10, but here's a 1 John 4:20, often neglected, often, well, I have it on the screen, I'll just read it. Normally I have you turn, but the first part's pretty straightforward. Let me just talk to this guy now. So if anyone says I love God and hates his brother, he is, say it. It's a little harsh. I'm sure, can we get a modern translation to sort of soften that up a bit? So if he says he loves God and he hates anyone, hold up his report card. Right? You hate, is there anyone you hate? Here you've been loving God for so long, now you've decided to hate somebody, so your love for God, it's a lie now. Here's the rationale. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Again, I just have to say that's kind of shocking. I would have thought the verse would say, if you don't love God, you can't love others. That's the teaching we hear at church all the time. If you don't love God, you can't love others. But that is not what it's saying. It's not saying that love for God is the way toward greater love for others. though the Bible does teach that. Here what it's saying is, this is like a, for me, love for others is a way to greater love for God. In fact, how many people are at church this weekend, and if the truth were known, you would score yourself somewhat stagnant in your love for God. I know it, but it hasn't been what it should be for some time in my life. Mostly now I'm checking boxes, doing right things, but I don't feel it for God the way I used to feel it. I would have said, well, you need to, you know, get along with the Lord. You need to read your Bible. And I would have gone totally Rene Descartes on everyone and said, more information. And I do think that matters. But here's an entirely different thing. What if loving that person in your family, loving that person in your church family faithfully, that is hardest for you to love, is the way for you to experience personal revival? What if actually loving that person is going to be logs on the fire of my love for God? 35 years of preaching, I have never said that, ever. Never thought that, never knew that. But there it is in God's word. So I'm going to add a second part to your second point. Vertical living is proven by horizontal loving, but vertical living is promoted by. It is also promoted by horizontal loving. Both are true. Both are true. Vertical living is promoted by horizontal. What a new thought. Well, remember was it last week when I used that lemmings illustration? Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week? Was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago. Was it last week? We'll just decide by voting. All in favor of 2 weeks ago? All in favor of last week? I'm crushed. Okay. So I put this, I'll just put it on again. Put that little lemming video on again. So sad. So really sad. Look at them all. All these little gerbils or groundhogs or whatever they are. Just running, just congregating and running to their death. Look at them going, going. But did you know this? That never happened. That's from a clip from a 1958 Disney movie called White Wilderness. And a 1983 investigation showed that they were being thrown off the cliff by the Disney filmmakers by this sort of Lazy Susan thing they had at the top. Like they put them on, they were ripped off, and then clever editing and filmmaking. Come on, I'll say Disney and you express shock. Ready? Disney. So they did it. They did it. It's there is no migration of the lemmings. There is no massing together of thousands of them in Norway and going over the cliff. It isn't true. But what is true is that we tend to congregate together and put incredible pressure on one another to be like each other. And when we can't get people to be the way we want them to be, when we can't get people to talk like we think Christians should talk, when we can't get people to spend like we think Christians should spend, when we can't get people to raise their kids like we think Christians should raise their kids, we go on and find a new community that we think will agree with us more, and we move and move and move and move and move and move. Pressure always when what should be happening is we should see the differences between me and others, not as exposing their error, but as exposing my diminished capacity to love. And Christian community should not be forcing on one another some extra biblical conformity to non-God-given mandates that represent our sensitivities, not the Word of God. And then we just begin to pound one another. Christians can be so brutal. They call us Bible thumpers for a reason. Man, knock it off. Knock it off. Bible knowledge, group conformity, total speak is not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is love. I wrote down to say it this way to you. All failure is a failure to love. We're not supposed to be all the same. We're supposed to be learning to love. When I'm chafed in church, when I'm consternated in community, that means that I am learning to love. So, verse 40, I've been trying to get to it for multiple weeks. Come on, lift up your voice and say, we're there.
We're there.
So, nice and loud, a little slow on the uptake there. Okay, but love you, but love you. Truly. Here it is, verse 40. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Note this, vertical living leads to everything that matters. On these two hang, so all the law and the prophets, are you serious? On these two? All the law and the prophets? On these two? That seems like a bit of a stretch. However, because Jesus is saying it, we'll give it a little test here. Somebody call out, I'm super nervous right now. Somebody call out one of the Ten Commandments. Come on. What? Thou shalt not kill. That has nothing to do with love. Or hang on for a second here. Why would you ever murder someone? You say it.
Love.
So I need another one of the Ten Commandments. What's that? Honor your mother and father. I don't have to do that anymore. Really? Is that true? I don't think that's true. I think you still have to honor them, and it would be a lot more simple to accomplish that if you say it. If you love them, and who would covet his neighbor's wife if he loved his neighbor, and who would steal his neighbor's stuff if he loved his neighbor, and of course I want to go to church again. It's not hard for me to give one day a week to loving God. I'm trying to learn to love myself less and love him more, so this is an opportunity for me to live that out by getting my priorities ordered, and on this depends all the law and the prophets. 613 Old Testament commands narrowed down to 10 commands in Exodus 20, narrowed down to 3 in Micah 5:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. You'll do justice if you love. You'll love mercy if you love. Sometimes we're so upset when, come on, get him, God! You don't love mercy, huh? And of course, if we love God, we walk humbly with him. On these depend all the law and the prophets. That phrase there, law and prophets, just means the Bible. It's the Bible, the Old Testament. It's what Jesus is referring to. Now the New Testament is included. It's all here, love, just love. The whole, doesn't, hey, do you ever, how many people ever felt overwhelmed at the bunch of stuff in the Bible they've never studied? Now, this is not a message to say, well, just bag that and work on love. It's not saying that. It's just saying that loving God and loving others is getting you to that destination. This is where the focus needs to be. I'm not like, and I gotta be kind, and I gotta be patient, and no fear, but I'm afraid that I'm not gonna be patient and kind, but I'll try not to be anxious about that, and I'll make sure I'm praying, but I gotta stop praying and make sure I'm witnessing, and it's just like, you know, it's a... Come on, somebody say it's a lot. Love is the measurement of, the means to, and the message of. It's all of that. Love is the measurement of. It's the means to. Love is the way to obey the commands. And love is the message of God. It's everything God wants us to say is in loving him and loving others. It's all right there. This is the fountain from which everything else flows. Love is not the only thing that matters, but it is the pathway to, it is the method of, it is the means to everything that matters. So, again, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, I told you about this painful March surgery that I had. And I told you how I was back in the hotel trying to sleep it off and one of the rougher things that I've ever been through, and how for 3 or 4 or 5 years I've been praying, asking God to give me the centerpiece, the source. So I woke up in this hotel room in LA, Kathy was right there with me, and I woke up, and all I can tell you is I had this little phrase in my mind. I can't say I was dreaming about it. I don't remember that, but I don't honestly remember consciously thinking about that. I'm going to give it to you a little piece at a time. You can write it there beside 4A. The first part is love to live. Love to live. In other words, that's our passion. That's our soul satisfaction. You are not really living until you're loving God. Love to live. You are not really living till you're loving God. And then that's our passion. And then the second part, love to live, write down the second part. You can use the same word if you want. Love to live to love. Second part, live to love. That's our mission. You're not really living till you're loving, so love to live. And you're not really fulfilling your purpose until you're living to love. Live to love. Love to live to love. Love to live to love. I just woke up with that, with the numbers. Love to live to love. I reached for a piece of paper and I grabbed it. That's it, that's it. Love to live to love. And of course, I knew this scripture. You could easily say that the first part is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love to live. I wasn't really living until I was loving God. And I never feel more alive than when I'm loving God well. And what's supposed to be the outcome of that? Just me off somewhere in an ivory tower, loving God, loving God. I love loving God so much. I just love loving God. I'm going to keep loving God. No. The purpose of loving God, or the outflow of that, or the proof of that, is love for others. So not just love to live, but live to love. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm about. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now abide these three, faith, hope, love, but the greatest is, say it,
love.
Love is the greatest thing. Love is the greatest thing. Jesus said it, Paul said it, the Holy Spirit wanted us to know it. It's the greatest thing. So I heard this cool story this week. So there was this guy looking for a job, which is always a bummer, even when you're a student in college. But when you're married and trying to provide for a family, have you ever been out of work? Not awesome. And this guy found out that this lumber company was hiring, and so they were foresting and taking down trees. And the guy got an interview, and he goes into the interview, and he says to the guy who's hiring, he says, I want to be a tree cutter here. We said, well, there's really not a lot to talk about. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to give you an axe. We'll go outside, and if you can cut the tree down fast enough, you got the job. If you can't, you don't. He's like, let's go. So they go outside, and this guy takes this big axe, and he just starts into it. You know what I mean? The chips are flying. He's swinging this tree around the other side, cutting, back around. Timber! And the tree comes down. The guy says, you got the job. You start Monday. He's so happy, and he shows up early for work, and he just works as hard as he can all day. Monday, same thing. Tuesday, same, seemed even harder. Wednesday, worked hard on Thursday. The boss comes to him and says, here's your check. He says, we don't get a check till Friday. How come you're paying me today? He says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let you go. He says, let me go? He says, I mean, I've been sweating through my clothes every single day. Today may be more than ever. The guy says, well, here's what I can tell you. On Monday, you cut more trees than anybody else. On Tuesday, you kind of cut the same. Wednesday, you were below average. Today, you're the worst person on the job. So he said, can't be possible. I'm trying harder than ever. And of course, the experienced forester said to the guy, have you sharpened your axe? He's like, I didn't know you were supposed to do that. He said, oh yeah, you got to sharpen your axe. Of course, that is the point, isn't it? Working harder than ever, doing more than ever, but seeing less results than ever. That is a lot of people here right now. Still going to church. I'm still carrying my Bible. I'm still doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm not seeing the results like I used to. Sharpen your axe, y'all. One blade, the other. Love for God, love for others. Sharpen both sides. Get after it. Loving God more, heart and soul, mind and strength. Loving others. Go right after the things where that's hardest for you, and you will see fresh passion, fresh delight, fresh joy in the Lord spring up right in the middle of that faith of yours. Okay?
We hope you've been encouraged through this teaching from God's Word. Thanks for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving. Loving God and loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership and make these podcasts possible. If you are not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church family, consider an alternative. Check out our new Home Church Network at homechurchnetwork.global. For ministry information, more Bible teaching, and other resources, visit jamesmcdonaldministries.org.